Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Third hour is going to be a very busy hour, as I mentioned. We started off right now. I am Jim Rome. We are live in Southern California in the Quicken Loans studios. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Canadian snowboarder and a two-time Olympic medalist, Mark McMorris, joins me momentarily. This guy's story is absolutely incredible. Amazing story. That's coming up. The heavyweight champion of the world, Deontay Wilder, coming up later on this hour. And from last hour, as predicted, a number of you knuckleheads trying to hype up Rex in the ABQ, trying to give this guy some positive run, trying to keep him motivated, trying to get him to listen to you instead of me. That's fine. Understand, though, he's got to get through us to get on the air. Now, there is always that show going on. There are two shows going on at all times. This show and the show running right alongside of it on social. On this show, you hear me running Rex, cutting him off, breaking him off, and saying, come on, Rex, you're better than that. And then on the other show, which is running simultaneously and right alongside this show, you hear, hey, Rex, you're the man. Rex, you're unbelievable. Great job, Rex. Keep it up. You're not hearing that from me, but you're hearing it from others. At Jeremy Lanza tweets, Rex, don't listen to Jim. Keep them coming, baby. Gabriel D, 9 in 520. Why did you run a solid map take? Because it wasn't about maps. Drew in West LA. Holy freaking crap. One of the funniest things I've ever heard on the Rome Show. Hey, Drew, I've been here for every one of the Rome shows. It wasn't one of the funniest things ever heard on this show. In fact, it wasn't funny at all. If it were funny, I would have racked it and not run it. There was nothing amusing about that. Stucknut, he tweets, Aloha means goodbye at Rex in the ABQ.
Map of Hawaii.
That's quite enough, Rex. That's quite enough, Rex. All right, so we are efforting Mark McMorris. Literally, this guy nearly died in an accident. I'm just trying to come back from a Rex call. You would not believe what Mark McMorris has come back from to medal. At Incredible Peeps tweets, love the interview with Chris Likes. Yeah, why don't we talk about that instead? Instead of Rex, why don't we talk about Chris Likes? Freshman, you can see why his teammates love him, why the coaching staff loves him. Now that I've had him on the program, I love the guy. Love the interview with Chris Likes. Tremendous, humble attitude. What a warrior. And finally, some jungle karma for the U. Hashtag go Canes. So the other day, we had a meeting with a college counselor that we meet with to talk about where Jake is going to go to college. My older son now is a junior in high school, and we're trying to figure it out. We're taking college trips. We're trying to figure out where he's going to go to college. And I have talked about it on the air. And he's taken trips in California. He went to Stanford. He went to UC Berkeley. He went to Santa Clara. Then Janet and Jake went to Notre Dame, and they checked out some other schools in the Midwest. And one of the schools that came up, one of the schools that this counselor, when she plugged in the data and the criteria, one of the schools that kicked back, the U. So Jake's number one school right now is Notre Dame. And I'm not sure whether or not he can get into Notre Dame or if that's the right fit. Another one of the schools, I'm trying to push him to my alma mater, UC Santa Barbara. But when she brought up the U, I got to admit, I jumped out to the top of my list. Mike Jr., you got to go to the U. It's all about the U. How awesome would that be? I mean, I can't wait to visit the U as a parent of a kid who might go to school there. Good school, by the way. Some lot to like academically about the U. I can't wait to move Jake in. And I can't wait to move Logan in. They don't know this. I remember when I was looking at colleges. And no offense to anybody in Tucson, but my old man took me to Arizona. And for whatever reason, he got it in his head that I was going to go to Arizona. So we go to Arizona, and I'm like, you know, not really into this. He's like, that's fine. You should go to school here. Yeah, I don't know, Dad. I feel like since I studied really hard in high school, I'm going to pick where I'm going to college. And he literally laughed in my face. Oh, really? You studied really hard in high school, so you get to pick where you're going to college. Really? Because I've worked really hard as an adult, and I'm paying for your college, so pretty much I'm going to pick where you're going to college. So he thought that I was going to Arizona. So now I've got a more progressive approach to this because my son is working really hard in high school. But I'm working really hard here, taking phone calls from Rex and reading tweets from Drew. So I'm going to have a say as to where my kids go to school. And right now it says here, they're both going to the U. They just don't know yet. That's going to take a lot of pressure off the entire family. We no longer have to take college trips. We no longer have to spend money on our college trips. I've already made the decision. Man, Janet will be so pleased. Hey, we don't need to sweat this anymore at all. No more prep testing practice exams. No more tutors. No more trips. They're going to the U. Congrats, kids. And Logan, that's got to feel great. You're in seventh grade, and I've already decided where you're going to college. It's all about the U. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so today's the day that we all become acquainted with Texas Wesleyan University. My kids are not going there. Nothing against there. But if we're all becoming acquainted with a D2 school deep in the heart of Fort Worth with only 3,000 kids on campus, and, you know, some people like that, a smaller school. Never mind that there are some high schools that are bigger than that. That's fine. But if I'm talking about them and we're all becoming acquainted with it, it's probably for the wrong reason and not the right reason. And it is. It's not the right reason, although a hilarious reason. An email has leaked to the media. The email comes from the desk of Mike Jeffcoat. You may remember that. No, he didn't play for the Cowboys. Not that Jeffcoat. Mike Jeffcoat, a journeyman reliever who spent 10 pretty anonymous years in the bigs. He came out of the pen for the Indians, the Giants, the Rangers, and the Marlins. All right, so that Mike Jeffcoat, remember him? Well, for the past 16 years, he's been grinding it out in the dugout at Texas Wesleyan, leading the Rams baseball team, and frankly, winning a lot of games. Up until last night, I'm not sure how many people outside that area knew that, or really even knew who he was. Then an email that he sent to a Colorado high school baseball recruit went viral. And now pretty much everybody knows who the coach is and where he's at, but not for the right reasons. Because apparently some kid from Colorado reached out to the coach to express interest in the Rams baseball program. And instead of kicking back some generic response, thanking that kid for inquiring, the coach went all dare officer on the poor kid and sent the following text in return, quote, "Thanks for your interest in our program. Unfortunately, we are not recruiting players from the state of Colorado. In the past, players have had trouble passing our drug test. We have made a decision to not take a chance on student athletes from your state. You can thank your liberal politicians. Best of luck wherever you decide to play." End of freaking text or email. Either way, it's legit. It's real. It's from a 58-year-old man to a kid who can't be older than 18, probably is 17. The Houston Chronicle already confirmed that the message came from Jeffcoat's account, and the TW Brass have launched an investigation, which I will get to in a minute. You gotta love that. I love that there's an investigation over something that requires no investigation whatsoever. I've done my own investigation. Here's my investigation. The coat hates weed. End of investigation. Case closed. Now, what I do find amazing is there's some kid from Colorado who even knew that TW existed. But then again, that's part of it, right? You're a D2 player. You've got to hype yourself. You got to get yourself out there. He knew the guy played in the bigs. He knew they'd won a lot of baseball games. He figured it was a good fit. He was wrong. Not a good fit. Not a good fit because he's from Colorado. And the coat can't stand those Colorado hippies and their liberal lettuce laws. He made that pretty clear. One problem, coat. And it's your program. You're the coach. You're going to recruit the top athlete that you want. You're going to recruit certain states. I get that. Keep this in mind, though, Coach. The times, they are a-changing. 9 states have totally legalized the lettuce. 20 others are now down with medical or medicinal use. So do you really want to not recruit half the country? And also, isn't this the point of an actual drug test? You know, to find out exactly, I don't know, if somebody uses drugs or if somebody has drugs in their system. So what? You're just going to turn away potential players without even handing them a cup? Without even letting them take the drug test? Because of what? They're, quote, liberal politicians? I don't know, Coach. Doesn't seem all that sustainable to me. Not when it's going to be 2022 and you're not going to have anybody on your roster because of laws that your potential players themselves did not make and probably didn't even vote on. But hey, without a baseball team to coach, at least you can crush your favorite flick on repeat.
These high school boys and girls are having a hop at the local soda fountain. Innocently they dance, innocent of a new and deadly menace lurking behind closed doors. Marijuana, the burning weed with its roots in hell. In this film, you will see the ease with which this vicious plant can be grown in your neighbor's yard, rolled into harmless-looking cigarettes, hidden in an innocent shoe or watch case. You will meet Bill, who once took pride in his strong will, as he takes the first step toward enslavement.
Wow. Maybe the coach ought to just relax. Maybe the coach should mellow out. Maybe the coach should chill. Maybe the coach needs to alleviate some of that stress. If only there was some kind of plant, legal plant, for that. If only. Meanwhile, the Hawk just walked in a statement from the school. Texas Wesleyan U has issued the following statement regarding that email from their baseball coach, the coach. Quote, "We are aware of the email sent by our baseball coach, and the comments he made are in no way a reflection of Texas Wesleyan University, its values, or its recruiting practices. This is a personnel matter, and it is currently under investigation. It is our university policy to not discuss personnel matters, but we want to reiterate that this email does not reflect our values, and we do not condone discrimination. This includes discrimination on the basis of race, color, origin, ethnicity, gender, age, religion, disability, or sexuality, or the political legislation of one's home state." So the school obviously distancing itself from the coach. This just in. Another update. Per 9 News in Denver, Texas Wesleyan University's head baseball coach has been fired. Obviously, a great deal of backlash over that email that he sent to a prospective player from Colorado, as I read, telling that player that he does not recruit athletes from that state because of that state's marijuana laws. Mike Jeffcoat was separated from the university Thursday morning because of, quote, derogatory remarks made in an email to the Colorado recruit. Texas Wesleyan president Frederick Slaybach said, quote, "The idea that we would discriminate on the basis that this email suggested is totally inappropriate here and does not comport with our policies and procedures and with our values as a university." Don't know if you know this, coach, but you cannot say we will not recruit a particular state because of political legislation. That is discrimination. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. Therefore, you cannot work here anymore. Hard to imagine that he would not know that, but he didn't. And now he does. Damn liberal politicians, got another one. This guy fired that email off to a recruit. And then the recruit was like, this just happened. This really happened. Then it was viral, and then he was unemployed. We were efforting Mark McMorris, and we found him. So we will have that next, and we'll roll that right into the heavyweight champion of the world, Deontay Wilder. That just happened. He just lost his job. Not because of the take, but right after the take.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
We are joined right now by a two-time Olympic medalist in slopestyle, a Canadian snowboarder, a 15-time X Games medalist, a three-time U.S. Open champ. Mark McMorris joins us with an amazing story. Mark, great to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good, bud.
How
Listen,
are you?
I'm great, Mark. I'm great. It's great to talk to you. Hey, let me ask you this. I mean, you just finished medaling in your second straight Olympics, but I think to fully understand your latest medal, we really need to go back to the start. The start in the flatlands of Saskatchewan. How did you first get into snowboarding?
I first got into snowboarding just because I had got a skateboard that summer, and as winter fell, we actually went on a family trip, and they tried to put us in ski lessons, but I was like, Mom and Dad, I want to do that thing that looks like skateboarding on the snow. And then, obviously, up in Canada where I'm from, our winters are much longer than summer, so spent a lot more time on the hill.
Mark McMorris joining us. So you win the slopestyle bronze in Sochi. And then in 2016, you suffered a broken femur during a big air competition here in California. Can you take me back to the injury? What was that rehab process like?
Yeah, that was a tough one. That was my first ever major injury. Everything had been going so well for like 6 years, no injuries, just having a lot of success in competition and things like that. And then that came along, and that was a really tough rehab. It's the biggest bone in your body, so it took a while, and it took a lot of hard work and sort of discomfort at times. But always worth it when you get back on the snow, because that's what I truly love doing.
You know, Mark, I think a lot of people know your story, and it's an amazing story at that. But I think there's some people listening right now that may not know it. I mean, you came back from that, and that was a tough rehab. And then in March of 2017, you were doing some backcountry snowboarding with some friends when you came off a jump too far to the left, and you hit a tree. For those who don't know, can you take me back? What do you remember about that collision?
Yeah, I just remember the tree being right in front of me out of midair after like I finished with 360 and something simple, but we were shooting in the backcountry and there's lots of variables. And yeah, I just hit it out of midair along my left side and pretty much suffered most of the injuries a guy can suffer. Broke 17 bones and ruptured my spleen and collapsed my lung. So that was sort of like, okay, he's done. So it was nice that people saved my life, and I just feel really lucky to be here even.
Hey, Mark, I want to be very clear about that. I mean, you mentioned 17 broken bones, but if you don't mind, I want to take my time. I want people to fully understand what you dealt with. A fractured jaw, a broken arm, a fractured pelvis, broken ribs, a ruptured spleen, a collapsed lung. Doctors had to put you in a medically induced coma, and then they performed a series of surgeries. When you woke up from all of that, because I got to be honest, if any one of those things, much less all those things happened to me, I'm going to call it a day. When you woke up and you heard all the injuries that you had sustained, what was your reaction?
My reaction was, when can I do this again, pretty
wow.
much? And do I have brain damage, most importantly, because I knew I hit my head really hard, and I was like, oh, my God. And I had a neck brace on because I just had jaw surgery or whatever, and I wrote it on the paper, like, do I have brain damage, and can I still go to the Olympics? Because I had been named to the Olympic team previous that week, so it was just, like, devastating to me, and I don't know. I must be wired different. I was definitely nervous and went through some times during the rehab, like, what am I doing? But I'm so glad I stuck with it and came back and took inspiration from all my friends, family, and fans that would reach out and let me know that I'm inspiring them by pushing through this, and things like that make it worthwhile.
We're talking to Mark McMorris. Dude, you are definitely wired differently. There's no doubt about that. I mean, doctors said that you'd be in the hospital for a month, and you somehow got out in 12 days, way ahead of all projections. Now, what's interesting is Jake Burton Carpenter, who is essentially the godfather of snowboarding, said to you after the accident, he saw you and he said, I was like, what the bleep are you doing riding in the bleep backcountry when you're going to win an Olympic gold medal and be a superstar, end quote. So when he said that, how did you explain that decision? Were you kind of like, hey, look, this is who I am. This is what I do. I'm supposed to do these things.
Yeah, pretty much. Definitely that talk went down, and he was so happy to hear my answer because he cares about snowboarding as a whole way more than he does about the Olympics. And he's just been such a good supporter and friend of mine. And yeah, I don't know. I didn't start snowboarding to go to the Olympics. I started snowboarding to be the best all-around snowboarder I could be and do what I love on a snowboard.
So when you suffer those injuries and you make it all the way back to the Olympics, after everything you've been through since Sochi, what did it mean to be back at the Olympics and then to medal once again?
Definitely really felt good to be back on that stage and in a place that I'd been before, and definitely really nerve-wracking as well because you're going through so much pressure and everybody expects to see you do well. But this time was a little bit different, knowing that everybody had just watched an hour doc on me before I dropped in about how I almost died a year ago. So they had a little sympathy. But then, yeah, just being able to come through and get a medal is such a good feeling, especially with all the hype around it.
There's hype, but there's so much inspiration, too. I mean, your story is so amazing that the Prime Minister of India was using it as an example of tenacity and courage in a town hall that he had with kids recently. And then that was followed up by Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau presenting him with your signed competition bib. So what's it mean to hear that the Prime Minister of India is using you and holding you up as an example, and now that he has your bib?
Yeah, man, that's a huge country to pull stories from, and for him to pull my story was pretty special. It was a huge honor, and I'm so glad that Justin has reached out before, so I was able to send him a bib, and then he was able to present Prime Minister Modi with it. And yeah, it was just such a trip, you know, how far things can get with today's technology and stuff, and then also just for my story to be that impactful for somebody is huge.
You know, Mark, I'm curious also, if you break this thing down and you get into the microcosm, the Olympic experience, I mean, what's it like when you're in the Olympic Village, when you've got some of the world's best, I mean, the world's best, all slammed into a confined area? In fact, you had a great line. You told TMZ that it was, quote, a dry village, if you will, no alcohol. So what did that mean for the Olympic experience, and what's it like in that village?
I think everybody's quite serious in the village. It's really funny. You'll see all the nations eating as nations, and then you'll know exactly which one the snowboard table is because we're all just hanging out together, every single nation, you know, and just it's such a different vibe to be a snowboarder, and we're so grateful for our sport because you can tell a lot of people wish they were living a life like us where it's not so segregated and serious, and everybody's just knows we're all going to get to snowboard after, you know. I don't know. Like, I want to go snowboarding off some countries. I want to be in the mountains. I want to be with my friends. I don't know if those bobsledders, like, oh, I can't wait to get back to the track and just fly down this thing. I don't know. It's just different, and I'm so happy to be a part of it. And yeah, the Olympic Village is cool. We definitely were running deep out there. It was cool.
No doubt. Mark McMorris joining us. Well, to your point, I mean, the Olympics are an amazing experience, and especially given what you had to overcome to get back, but it's bigger than even that. Canadian snowboarder, two-time Olympic medalist in slopestyle, a 15-time X Games medalist, and a three-time U.S. Open champ. Mark, glad to finally run you down. Really appreciate you coming on. Thanks so much. Congrats to you. It's an amazing story.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
You got it, bud. Thank you. Mark McMorris. If you notice, we're still talking Olympics because I love talking to Olympians. Different breed. When we come back, the heavyweight champion of the world, Deontay Wilder. That's next. We go back to back. Stay tuned. First up, though, let me get you caught up. Here's what's going on in the world of We are efforting the undefeated WBC heavyweight champion of the world, Deontay Wilder. Meantime, if you want maximum performance from your car, you could use an Edge, Castrol Edge. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium technology is 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown as tested in the Kurt Orban test in the 5W30 VisGrade. It helps to fight friction. It delivers outstanding levels of performance. Castrol Edge, the titanium strong motor oil. Mark McMorris was something else. God, I love these guys. The snowboarders, freestyle skiers, different guys. And by different, I mean good. Really, really good. Great guys. Yeah, I almost died. No problem, brah. Nearly died. 17 broken bones. Yeah, Olympics? Yeah, whatever. Just kind of want to ride with my bros. Hawk picked him up and he said something like, ciao for now, brah. Guy was so awesome. As promised, we're joined right now by the undefeated WBC heavyweight champion of the world, 39-0, 38 by KO. He won the National Gold Gloves title in just his 16th amateur fight. An Olympic bronze medalist, the founder, chairman, and CEO and leader of the Bomb Squad. He's facing Luis The Real King Kong Ortiz, Saturday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. It is a fight on Showtime. Deontay Wilder is my guest. Deontay, good to have you back. How are you?
Man, it's good to be back, man. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Dude, I'm doing great. It's great to hear your voice. You're about 48 hours out from stepping into the ring against Luis Ortiz. So bring me up to date. How's your fight week going? Are you enjoying it, or are you just itching to get that fight going right now?
Man, my fight week been going great. I've been doing a lot of interviews, a lot of talking. So, but you know, that's part of the game. You know, that's the exciting part about it. I enjoy, you know, promoting the fights and being able to speak what I say in existence. And come Saturday night, that's exactly what I would do. I speak it, believe it, and I'm gonna receive it. So, come Saturday night, it's gonna be very explosive. I'm looking to knock him out and make my record to go to 40-0 with 39 KOs. This is definitely a fight that no one cannot miss. And, oh, my God, this is right here reviving the heavyweight division right here. We have the most exciting heavyweight champion in America right here, and he's about to put on a great performance against King Kong himself.
My man, Deontay Wilder, I love that. 39-0, 38 by knockout, and you just called your shot. Listen, there is no denying your punching power. We know this. You don't win 38 of 39 fights by knockout without that kind of power. And to that point, you've said that you say two prayers before every single fight. What are the two prayers about?
Well, one is a team prayer, and the other one is an individual prayer. And my individual prayer goes in the lines of, Lord, I want to knock my opponent out, but I don't want to hurt him to where he can't go to his family, because at the end of the day, I want to go back to my family. This sport that we're in, you know, anything can happen in the ring. We risk our lives for others' entertainment. And that's why I tell people we must respect all fighters, no matter what caliber of fighter or what level they are. We must respect them because they're risking their lives each and every time they step in that ring. And that's what I pray for. I pray for us to get in the ring and leave just as, you know, get in the ring healthy and leave healthy as well, too. And, you know, we must do this because this is a dangerous sport that we're in.
Deontay Wilder joining us. Now, you're the only reigning American heavyweight world champion. It was a division that the Americans dominated for so long, but then there was that run of nearly a decade without an American champion until you came along. What's it mean to you to be the only American heavyweight world champion right now?
I mean, it's a great feeling. It feels real good to be at the top of my division, to be the main guy in America. But, you know, I'm a type of person that I don't like to shine by myself. I don't like to share the spotlight by myself. I love others to share with me. And hopefully that will happen. You know, I'm motivating a lot of people. We got a lot of great American fighters here in America that we probably haven't heard of yet, but they're on their way to the top and they're working so hard, just as I did, to claim this spot. And I'm looking forward to my other American brothers to claim their name to fame in this sport. So that will be not only just one champion, but there will be other, you know, great prospects that's coming up that the world would know about, and they can also mention their names as well.
Now, Deontay Ortiz is regarded as one of the toughest guys in the division, and you've even said, quote, he's supposed to be the boogeyman in the heavyweight division. You were supposed to fight him back in November, but he was pulled from the card because of a failed drug test. He's had two failed drug tests in 3 years, so how confident are you that he'll be clean when he steps between the ropes on Saturday?
I really can't say how confident I am in it because, you know, I don't know, man. This is something that you just have to hope for the best, because only thing that scares me about Ortiz is that they talking about blood pressure pills. Now, keep in mind, he only mentioned that he got on blood pressure pills when it was time to fight me. We didn't hear about blood pressure pills his last fight. We didn't hear about the last fight before that, nor the last fight before that. But when he fight the champion Deontay Wilder, we hear about blood pressure pills. And if those that don't understand and know understand blood pressure pills, not only does it work for a certain condition that he says, but it's also a masking agent to other things that could be taken. That's why he's got, you know, that was one of the delays for the first time, because he was talking about these blood pressure pills and he got caught, but he was covering something else up, you know. So Bob been doing a great job in testing him. They've done it continuously, which I'm glad that they've done. But, you know, you just can never know with these blood pressure bills. So, you know, I'm going to pray and hope for the best that we get in the ring and we perform and give the people what they want to see, a great performance, and we leave the ring, both of us, healthy, in great condition, and end the night, both come out as heroes.
Deontay Wilder joining us. One more thought about that. When you see a guy who's using PEDs and maybe using them more than one time, what does that tell you about that guy? Does that tell you something about his confidence? Does that tell you that maybe that guy thinks, hey, I need to cheat to win?
Oh, man, you hit the nail right on the head, man. It definitely about the confidence level. They don't believe in themselves. You know, all these, you know, and it's not just Ortiz. Any athlete, you know, that has to take any drugs that's a banned substance in their field, you know, it's their confidence level. Everybody want to make it to the top. Everybody want to have that thing to bring them, get them an edge over things. They don't want to work nowadays to get it because, hey, working is hard work, and sometimes it takes longer than sometimes it takes long to get to the top. So now they want to cheat their way to the top. But my thing is, how can you cheat? How can you take something to make your body do something that it's not supposed to do, and you complete the mission, you complete the task and get the job done? But how can you sit and look at yourself in the mirror and say, I did it, I'm a champion, you know, when you know all along you had help to do it? I just don't understand with these people, especially in a combat sport. I don't fear no fighter or no anybody that's dealing with a combat sport where you have to physically put your hand on a person and do bodily damage to that person. They shouldn't take no drug at all. Now you're really trying to kill someone.
Deontay Wilder, heavyweight champion of the world. You know, you and I have talked over the years about how you got into boxing and the motivation you get from your daughter, Naya, who has battled spina bifida. How is she doing these days?
Oh, my God. My princess she's growing up and becoming a beautiful young lady. You know, she's about to turn 13 March the 20th. And she's doing very well. She's doing well in school. She's growing up getting up in the age, you know, dealing with the bigger school, dealing with the bigger world, different people, you know, learning her class regimen and routines of how she's doing it. So she's living, man. I'm so proud of her. And every time I look at her, she gives me the motivation. She still inspired me to this day that if she can do it, Daddy can do it. And while Daddy inspires the world to believe it, Daddy can do it, then they can do it. So we work hand-in-hand as a team still to this day.
We're talking to Deontay Wilder, the heavyweight champion of the world. You know, before you go, you talked about how you want to speak something into existence. You've never been shy to make a prediction about a fight because, as you've said, I love saying what I do before it happens, because when it does happen, I want people to say, yo, he really meant what he said. He made sure that it did happen. You touched on it at the very top. Tell me again, what's Saturday look like and feel like to you right now? How is this going to go down?
Oh, my God, especially after this press conference we just had. See, the thing about me, keep me calm, cool, and collective. don't make it personal for me. When a fighter wants to speak his piece and he be rude, especially if I've blessed you with the opportunity to fight for this world title, and you turn into being disgraceful, now it become a problem. Now I take it personal, and that's what Luis Ortiz did. I didn't have to bless him with this opportunity. I could have went elsewhere, especially after he fell in a drug test twice. I could have told somebody else, but I chose to give him this opportunity for his daughter, because he had a daughter that had a mental problem as well, too. So out of the kindness of my heart, I said, I still wanted to fight you. So he made it perfect. He's been ungrateful. And like I said, we're looking to knock Luis Ortiz out come Saturday night, cold out as well, too. And that's what I mean. That's what I feel. And that's what I'm going to say and predict. So come Saturday night, the world can look for another knockout from the Bomb Squad, baby.
Bomb Squad, you called your shot. One last thought. What did he say to you at the press conference that was so disrespectful?
Well, the thing about him, you know, saying that, you know, somebody else gave him, you know, the public gave him a shot, and how he was being disrespectful, just the thought of me just giving him the opportunity to fight for this title, saying everything, you know, it's a lot of other things that he said that I wouldn't say, you know, on this phone to this channel, you know, but we take heed to that. We see the opportunity I blessed him with, and we don't think he's grateful for it. So we're gonna have to spank him. We're gonna spank him.
There's a price to be paid on Saturday night. Deontay Wilder is the undefeated WBC heavyweight champion of the world, 39-0, 38 by KO. That fight is 9 p.m. Eastern Saturday on Showtime. Champ, nice to have you back. Good luck this weekend. Always good to talk to you.
My man, same here, man. Blessings.
You too. Deontay Wilder, you too, my man. He is the founder, chairman, CEO, and leader of the Bomb Squad.
Bomb Squad!
Deontay Wilder. All right. 39-0, 38 by KO. And he says that Luis, the real King Kong Ortiz, disrespected him in numerous different ways, and that he will, quote, have to spank him this weekend. My man John Rothstein tweets, Sean Miller will return as Arizona's basketball coach, he announced. So the latest is he just made his first public statements since that report dropped, and reportedly will coach through the season amid the FBI investigation. He denies all allegations. Arizona is hosting Stanford tonight. The Pac-12 tourney starts on March 7th, and Sean Miller says he will return as Arizona's basketball coach. That just in. Coming right down to it. In fact, we're at it. Good solid day today in the jungle. We had Miami Hurricanes guard Chris Likes. We had Mark McMorris, the champion of the world, Deontay Wilder, defending his belt on Saturday night. If I didn't get to a telephone call, sorry about that. Take your shot once again tomorrow. Hey, let's finish strong. It's been kind of a crazy week around here. Let's finish strong. The grind does include Friday. My thanks to the XR4TI. My thanks to all of our guests. My thanks to you clones. Have a great night. See you once again tomorrow. Back it in. Denim up. Finish strong. See you then. We're out.